She's right.
Let's go to number nine.
I move we dismiss. That was fast. You gonna get a second?
Some disappointed people here.
Yeah.
All right.
And some not disappointed.
Okay, so the first item on the agenda, this July 21st, is public comment. Is there anybody here that has public comment for the planning commission? Just wants to make a statement in general? Nobody? Okay. Our second item on the agenda is Jenna Bush at 4611 Cove Lane. This is the conditional use for the small education class. We had the public hearing with the town council, and so now we're working on the conditions to put with that conditional use. That's what we'll be doing tonight. Jenna's asked to be excused. She had something come up and why it's out of town. So I should also tell you, Mark's his sister passed away, so he's at the funeral, and Pam has asked to be excused tonight. She's out of town. So out of those, is there any questions before we get started with the conditions on how that, I know the public hearing was, it was kind of, it was everything, and it was when it was just supposed to be about the education, so it spreads, it does that.
Eric, do we even have a quorum?
What?
We're supposed to have four for the quorum, aren't we?
Yeah.
And they took your voting away from you?
They haven't taken away yet, but it's coming.
Oh, I thought that it had been, so.
It could come in several ways.
And we, that's another thing we should really talk about tonight. It's not on the agenda, but we need to fill the planning commission. We probably ought to get an alternate too on there for when we do run a little shy, so. Okay, so tonight what we'll be talking about is the conditional use. Several of you was at the hearing that the residents had some concerns.
I was out of town, but I read. Is this what we got in the email?
Yes.
Okay, I see.
So this is what you had in the email. Then let me give you, I received a separate email with some concerns. They were also at the hearing, but they wanted to put them in writing. So this is the neighborhood concerns. Gina Williams, Brent, and Lisa Dinga, and some of the other neighbors put together. This is the one that they sent out. You might as well have a copy.
Thank you.
Do you have the description, farm plan? Do you guys have a copy of that? Do you want a copy of that?
Yes, please.
So this was Jenna's farm plan. That was her submittal she sent back into us regarding what she wanted to do there. So I can explain it to you if you need to know why it's just the education and the conditional use and not the selling of the products raised on the place.
Sure, I'd like to hear.
Okay, so the reason that it's the education, because that's part of the conditional use requirement. A selling of produce of stuff on your farm that you raise, mm-hmm, is a use. So that's actually a use within the RA5.
Okay.
So that doesn't fall into conditional use, that's actually a use.
So that's okay already, in other words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've written code that makes requirements for that, and so it's allowed. Where this is the education, having people come for classes is a conditional use. We've listed that as a conditional use.
Okay.
So that's the difference in the two. I know it was confusing in the hearing, but that's the difference in the two items. So, and that's stated here in their business plan, that 80702, 3D permitted accessory uses.
Mm-hmm.
It's So we limit off-street parking, access, things like that. And when she wrote this plan, she was very well aware of that code, so that's what this follows after.
So they're asking to do education and build an educational building?
So the building is for when they sell products, people will pick them up there.
Okay.
But they just want to do an ag barn at this point, that she can just have as a loafing shed right now. So we'll be looking at that also as with the conditional use. We have those two items, is the agricultural building, which meets our requirements with the signature on the ag.
Okay.
She wanted to make sure that if she was above board with all the neighbors.
So what she said is she'll teach the classes in her home. So she said, you know, eight people all fit around her table, and that's all she's planning on doing. So basically her thing was she teaches math during the school year, and during the summer she gets bored if she doesn't have something going on.
Okay.
So on the condition side of this, we need to list out if there's any other conditions that aren't spoken to in this document, then we need to list those. And I mean, there was a couple brought up that I think we should look at, and that was the review of the conditional use. We can make that a condition. And I think some of the neighbors would like to have that. They're not sure what's happening,
well,
so.
And I think we should probably have a condition that they keep, you know, any dry grass trimmed or out of the way to stop any fire danger, because there's a concern, but also sounds like there's a concern on probably the people's property that are complaining that they ought to trim theirs also.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think they pointed that out, the whole area had some of that.
Yeah, I mean, bushes can't trim the other side of the road, and yeah. I mean, depending on what the property owner wants, so.
Yeah.
But I think we should, since they're planning on having vehicles go in and out of there, that needs to be taken care of so we don't have any dry grass.
Can I make a comment, Eric?
Yes.
Didn't she say that she would put in road base if the conditional use was approved?
Yeah.
Yes.
The problem with the road base and the whole driveway scheme is that we don't allow a second access.
Okay.
For the farm produce. We don't allow off-street parking.
Gotcha.
So it doesn't become a little store.
Right.
Make them park on the road, that's the way our code reads.
That makes sense.
So I know that she had that drawn into her plan to build the road, which is fine if you build the road, but they just can't use that for their little cruising. So if that becomes that, there was two different issues, but to break those up, if she's selling their stuff from there, they'd have to park on the street.
Okay.
Or in her driveway.
If that's the case, then we need to say wherever they're parking that,
yeah,
the grass is trimmed.
Yeah. And I don't know about where they have that drawn. We have a water line easement through there too, as well as Daniel Irrigation on that driveway easement. So. So we had the fire. Was there anything else that stood out? I think traffic was an issue.
Well, the size of the road, wasn't it? To the access, just.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big concern.
So they talk about school bus drop off, but they said they, you know, don't do this during the school year, so I don't know that that's an issue.
Do we spell that out? That there's only a time of the year that they can?
Might as well.
But do we? No, I haven't read through it all the way.
We haven't got it. Yeah.
If it says that, that's fine, but if it doesn't, I think we ought to add that. That it should be summer use only.
Yeah, and she's put that on there, so. Yeah, she's put in limited day students, picked up drop off using the same route. And it's in there. These classes will only run in the summer, and we are willing to work with Storm Haven residents to make sure the timing does not impact daily life substantially. She's included that in there. After the first meeting, I had her go back and rewrite the business plan, and that's, she included those in, so.
Come down our street where we have Lewis Brothers buses coming in, bringing people to the Airbnb.
Yes. So she has cited the conditional use number, the 6810, which is nursery, primary, and secondary education. And then you remember she's also cited the 7911, but you'll remember when we changed the conditional uses with our resolution we sent to the council, we left that in, but we put non-commercial on that. So the sleigh ride, wagon ride, farm experience activities was non-commercial as a conditional use, so. And the produce stand that we was talking about earlier, I hate to jump back and forth, but the produce stands for the purpose of displaying, selling agricultural or farming products which are grown or produced on the premises on which said stand is located. The stand shall not exceed ground coverage of 300 square feet and will be limited to one stand per parcel of property. Stand shall not provide off-street parking. And so that's 80703. D is where that code is. So that's why it's a use, and we've written the code to address those. Okay, so is there any other things we need to add to this? Anybody got any ideas? You good with the plan? I don't think there was anything there in. Going back through the notes, I think we've hit the traffic, we've hit the road. I mean, that was a big thing to come up, but that's really not their deal. Can't hold them to that. It's just like the weeds across the road.
Yep.
Okay. Fire's the only thing we got?
Yeah, on that one, and I think where it says they have liability insurance to cover fire damage for all the properties, I'm like, well, if you're gonna invite your grandkids for a week, you better do that too. And so I'm not sure that I agree with that one.
Or son-in-law. This time of year, the son-in-law shoots off more fireworks than anybody.
I don't know if that's even possible to do if they wanted to. The liability for all the neighbors, I don't think that's even possible.
Yeah, I don't know the insurance would cover that. I guess
You can probably buy insurance for anything if you're willing to spend money.
Yeah. Everybody got the packet I resent out. That was a request at the meeting, so everybody get that regarding this condition. Okay.
All
right. So it looks like we'll add fire to the conditions.
On the parking.
Yeah, the, have a.
I mean, mean, if they can't do road base, they have to do something fire resistant, whether it's mowing or.
I mean, if they have to park on the side of the road, then that needs to be mowed.
Yeah. That's an immediate hill, so it's not like you can get off the road right there.
I'm not that familiar with that area, so.
It's right where the mailboxes are. They took them off the highway and put a little pull out right there in front of their house, so.
Well, maybe what they'll have to do is move their fence over so that there is parking on the side of the road.
It's pretty steep hill, I don't know.
Oh, okay, I haven't seen it, so.
It's uphill quite a bit. Yeah, it'd be pretty tough to get off the road. But I think for the A students, I think they'll use the driveway, and it is already road based and gravelled and cement at the top.
Well, they could do that for the farm student too, if they had.
Yeah, they could. And she's mainly said she was gonna do that online and have two people picking up at a time, so it sounded pretty limited. I think it's limited in itself and by saying that's what's growing on site. Won't be buying produce somewhere else and reselling. I think that's.
There was a concern about signage. Does that come into play here anywhere? Do they even want signage?
Well, she said she might have a sign, but our other code on signs would cover, she'd have to be in compliance with that. So.
Okay.
I think it's like 2 square feet. It's not very big.
It's pretty small. I think we did raise that. If I remember right, it might be 16 square feet now.
Okay, that's it.
I mean, we heard quite a few people saying that they really did like the idea. It was just a matter of whether it could be. Amelia, did you have anything on this one? Okay. They should have introduced her. This is Amelia. She works with TNL. You probably get emails from her.
Yes, we do.
Signage is on the back side here. Did you see that?
Yeah. So 826 is our sign regulations, and it's pretty lengthy. It has 19 sections, so.
Okay.
I knew we did change that. Everybody says that's way too small.
Yeah, you better check that as you're putting signs up too.
Yeah.
So do we need to draft these and then vote on them? And send
well,
them to
I
the
think
city
I think we need to draft these and then before we vote on it, I think we should meet with the Bushes and make sure that these are conditions that. We want to vote on it and have them reject a use if we can work through
okay.
That.
So maybe we write them up before next meeting and have them here and, okay.
Yeah. Or we can write them up and send them to them and see what they think. So I don't think she's in too much of a hurry.
Probably too late for this summer anyway.
Yeah, and everything she has growing on site, she says she's just getting started, so. You even have a real estate sign. And sign for 100 foot. The frontage. 16 square feet is the sign.
Okay.
No more than 6 foot tall. Unless there's an amendment that I don't have tied to it yet. Tom. Okay, Tom?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so we'll add, how should we word that, fire?
I think the letter here has it actually pretty well.
That's okay.
Where it says, all dry vegetation around the parking lot must be cut and maintained to a non-flammable condition.
Perfect.
I like that. Plagiarism's easier than invention.
Yes. Okay, we'll copy that over then. I will put that together, add this to it, and then I'll send her an email.
I'd actually change this to in the parking area instead of around the parking lot.
Okay.
That's a good point.
Anything else? Everybody happy?
Okay.
All right, I'll draft that, I'll add that to it, and then I'll get that back to her.
Okay.
Okay. Item number two. Nope, number three. So this is Bart Wild. You remember that you got a packet sent out regarding an agricultural building. And so now, well, after the council meeting, that was the health department, after their description, is not what the description that he gave us, what that barn was, so.
No, the health department called it a party barn.
Yes. It was quite a different description. So the builder's been in touch with us. I have put a stop on the building permit for the barn until the house building permit is brought into compliance. They need to have their CO issued, and there's several items that they need to bring up. Our inspector has, they haven't had their final inspection. So we just stopped that permit, and we're waiting for them to come into compliance with it. The builder's aware of it. I haven't made contact with Bart yet, but the builder is aware of those items.
So did they sign the agricultural building form?
We do have the agricultural building form.
Okay, and I'm trying to remember the plans, and I looked at them again today. Or I tried to look at them today, I couldn't find them.
Oh.
Couldn't get the attachment.
Oh.
To see, does it really fit the ag building? So I went back and looked at the state law again, and it's basically, you don't need the building permit because basically no one's going to be in it. You know, other than you're in there picking up some equipment or loading hay or something like that. You're not having a family party or anything else in it, or it needs a building permit. So I think we need more information from Wilds, and then either, you know, if it really is a party barn, suggest that they get a building permit, because if they don't, it's going to cause other issues.
So the builder's email put on that they have scrapped the plumbing altogether. So there won't be any plumbing. There will still be electrical, but the plumbing is, he's not willing to put in the wastewater. So they have changed the shower to a closet, and the, I don't know what you call that, the vanity top, I guess. They've changed that to just a bench in there. So there won't be any plumbing. We'll still be inside with, our inspector will be inside doing the electrical, so we'll be able to verify there's no plumbing.
Good.
So, is that correct enough?
Correct.
I think as long as we've had the discussion with them and they understand the limitations.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Tracy was giving them quite a bit. He said they had to run it clear to the front septic, and he wanted that barn clear to the back. So it's a long haul, and he would have to pump it. That's what his indication was. So I was really concerned after I heard the description. It's like, that's not what he said he was building. So.
Yeah. Well, I would say at least 75% of the ag buildings that we've approved are probably not truly ag buildings.
Yeah. But if they sign that letter, I mean, that's a big deal. They acknowledge that. So I just wanted to bring you up to speed on that. We sent that out email. Some of you responded that it looked okay, but I've just held that up until they come into compliance with the other. I just don't think we should move forward until they come to compliance with the other. So you can tell me different if you'd like. No? Okay. All right. I don't think there's any action take on that tonight. Mark's here tonight, item number four. We have scheduled a public hearing for the 2nd of August, and we'll be holding that with the council, so that will be at 6 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
6 o'clock. The notices went out. Anybody within 500 feet should have got a notice. Planning received their notice, so it came.
Yeah. It's in the wave, wasn't it, today?
Yeah.
But I saw it.
Did The legislature, when they met, they changed some of the rules about noticing that went into effect in July. So after July, some of those notices won't have to be run in the paper, just because of the electronic.
If they go to their website?
Yeah. Some of those requirements on some items have been lifted, so that will make a difference as we relearn those, what needs to be in the paper and what doesn't.
Will that be here?
It will be here in this room, yeah.
I'll be out of town, trying to send a partner of mine here. I think I heard something or saw something about it being electronic, you can call in or via Zoom or whatnot.
It'll be on Zoom, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can come in wherever you're at, so.
All right, cool.
Check on your partner.
So was this for the RV storage?
Yeah, so.
Okay.
You have flex and some storage in the back.
That we talked about 2 months ago.
Right, yes.
Okay.
Do we have anything? I missed that meeting and I haven't seen any descriptions or, I'm just wondering if there's any documentation that you sent out that I missed.
He had some drawings and things on that.
Yes.
It's very similar to Heber Valley Storage that Mike Peterson did, just two parcels over. Almost identical.
I know, it just helps if you have a description before the meeting so that you kind of know what's going on.
I can, the latest layout, I sent a copy, I can send that again, just so you have that for the meeting.
Okay, or if you just send it to Eric and then he'll send it to us. It just helps if we can review it before the meeting so we have some context as people are talking.
You bet, not a problem.
Did you get your letter and notice?
I did.
Okay.
Yep.
Number?
Jay. Yep. You guys dotted your i's and crossed your t's.
Correct. Okay, so that one there will be on the second. Okay, hazard mitigation plan update. I've met with John Amicum from Mountain Land Association of Government. It's a 5-year time period to update our FEMA map mitigation plan. What we have, and you can access this right on the MAG site, you can, on the Mountain Land Association of Government, they have all of the whole county in there. I've just printed off what we have in Daniel, and I do have another copy here. And I'll quickly go over with you guys to see if we have anything we need to add. We have 12 buildings at risk in the 100-year flood. We have 19 buildings in a 500-year flood, so this is the high level for it. We don't have any risk from the dam failure. Fire is a high to moderate risk. 116 buildings are at risk at a price of $14 million, almost 15.
No, they haven't looked at Zillow lately, have they? Have we?
Yeah. So these are the old numbers.
Yeah.
So they'll be updated. So this was 16 when we did this last, so these are the old numbers. Debris flow, we have seven buildings that could be upset with the debris flow. The landslide, one is one building. And then, of course, the liquefaction. We don't have anything that they're listing on that. We did have on our old list the irrigation pumps, thinking that we could do something with those. We could put on their work with irrigation to provide ground cover on those so that there was some plant base on there so it would not, I guess it would be more stable. The problem with that is that their plan called for no vegetation on those. So that's a terrible plan for them. They don't like it. So if it's on here, we are able to apply for grants and show them that it's in our mitigation plan, and so funding becomes available. A couple items we did do with this is up in Storm Haven, we replaced the culverts. and a couple of things up there that we did get monies from them to help with that. The only thing that we come up at the council was the bridge at Storm Haven, the one we're talking about at the bush.
Mm-hmm.
The narrow ability and emergency access to that subdivision was brought up at the meeting. So those were two items that we looked to add. Is there anything else that you guys can think of that we would want to add to this? We did have the bridge at Big Hollow Road, and the county informed us that that's their bridge in West Montrose.
It's good because it's just wood underneath with gravel on top.
Okay.
With big heavy trucks going across.
Big heavy trucks.
So far so good.
Yeah, it's a little narrow if you haven't noticed. Been run off the road many times there by those trucks.
I suspect that with the fire that we had up there, that a lot of these will change. A lot of these numbers will change as they plug in those things. So Sean Amicum is the one that came out and met with us. I was supposed to meet with Charleston and Independence in the same meeting, but neither one of those showed up. So we met at the library. Heber City, you can go through and on the whole county. I mean, we're sitting pretty good, I think. But if you do find an item we want, then we need to put a timetable with it of when we're thinking we're going to take action on. There's stuff and they hold to it, but they want it in the plan. Anything to add?
If we can do any other fire mitigation, that'd be awesome. I don't know what else they can do, though. We can put in the plan.
Yeah, and we do have the fire, wildland fire, that we are required to do in kind or donate to that fund. So cleaning up along that riverbed has qualified us, pulling out that overburden and cleaning up the sides of the road. The county has a chipper shredder, and they'll bring that out if we have people to chip and shred, yeah.
So we have tended to just clean up the creek bed on high flood years because we've been worried about flooding.
Mm-hmm.
So should we be doing it other years?
Yeah, we could do
in
it.
In addition to? I mean, is there a need
for it? It'd be nice to worry about flooding again.
Yeah. Next year.
This year. Yeah, because there's been stuff dumped in the creek bed this year that might.
Like brick things?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Bricks?
Yeah.
Get them through a shredder.
No.
Fence pillars.
Oh.
So, brick blocks,
yeah.
5 feet long.
Oh. They float.
Yeah.
No, these are the old bricks.
Oh.
They don't.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not the new sand, the old sand.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is they'll flood the person that put them in there.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Huh. Well, again, that's in the county property, so.
Yep, it is.
How can you put them in there?
I have no idea.
They were landscaping, and I have a feeling their landscapers didn't know where to dump them, so they just.
It was a good place, creek.
So they just threw them in there. And I thought, in the next couple of days they'll fish them out, but that's never happened. So.
Yeah, I'm surprised the county hasn't said anything. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're down there a lot. Oh, it could be scary. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, we'll continue. I haven't had the update from her back. After we went through the meeting, we updated everything we knew about. I've sent this into her by email, but again, she's doing everybody, so I haven't heard anything back. Just this is every 5 years we'll be looking at this to redo. So if you think of something, let me know, because that will come back before the council to adopt this. So we'll adopt it. We want everything in there that we can think of. Okay, the general plan update. It's the same thing. It's a 5-year turnover. We're a little bit ahead, but I think we should get them on the same schedule so that we're doing.
Can I throw something out on the hazard mitigation plan?
You bet.
I've often wondered if, I mean, we have to work with the irrigation company, but on the end of those lines, so like the bottom of Big Hollow, maybe they should be extended and a fire hydrant put there that's active, you know, during the irrigation season, which is typically coincides with fire season.
That's a great idea. By the way, these numbers you read, I believe, are for Charleston.
Oh, did I?
I don't see one that says Daniel.
Well, I think some of the other is Daniel, but that one.
But we don't have the top, maybe?
Yeah.
The what? What are you looking at?
This one says Charleston.
Right, but if you start at the thing, it starts with Daniel. That table starts Daniel.
Oh, this one's Daniel from here on down.
Yeah, and then you just keep going down.
All right, great. That makes sense now.
And then you'll come to Heber City. It starts with that table.
Okay.
I mean, I know they can get to the sprinklerizers, but.
Yeah, and they have hooked on those. I wonder what the rule would be for us hooking on a hydrant.
I don't think you'd go for it.
Well, I mean the rules from the state.
Well, maybe you don't do a hydrant, maybe you just extend the line and put a riser there. So they don't have to go through a fence and 100 feet up the field to get to the water.
That's a good question.
And that would be, you don't need a hydrant because it's not going to freeze.
Right.
So why put that expense to it? Just put a riser there.
Just put a riser there. That's a great thing to bring up with
the irrigation. And where are you talking?
Call it a clean out.
Right,
so,
where?
So the county property along Big Hollow Road, there's a line that comes across, but it only comes within about 100 feet of the road.
Okay.
So I'm saying bring that to the edge of the road and put another riser there.
And maybe another few hundred feet up the road.
Yeah, whatever makes sense.
I would like that.
You'd like, yeah. Of course, you have gravity working against you there.
Start going back uphill, huh?
I think the pond's only 75 feet above my house.
Oh.
Because I can actually.
A little higher than that.
I can see about a 15 psi pressure difference depending on the level of the pond.
Well, we have monthly meetings with the irrigation company. So that'll be a good thing to bring up in that meeting. Start that conversation with them. That's a great conversation to have with them. I know they may say, well, you don't have water for that. Well, they're filling up their bags out of your pond or just pick it up at the bottom. So it's the same water.
Yeah, if the mountain's burning, are we going to argue about whether we have water for it or not?
Right. Yeah, that's what we've told them. But go on, go. Drain is dry. That's what it's for. Go, go.
And I would bet along Little Sweden there's some similar opportunities.
Yes, it probably is. That's a good one to add to that. I like that. So we'll talk to the irrigation company.
I'm sure if the town's paying for it, they won't be as against it.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll start the conversation anyway. Okay, so our general plan, our last update, we didn't do anything with the general plan. Is there, you guys heard anything about the general plan? Anything that needs to be updated on that? This was more of just an item to get going on it, take a look at it, make sure, read through it. That's what we do, is we try and make that general plan our roadmap. So if there's anything, it's on our website, so you can access it on the website. Take a look at that and see if we need to update. We've added the low income housing component to our general plan. And so that also is, that was going to be required to be updated every 7 years, but they changed that legislature and made it 5 years, which makes sense because that's when you have to do the general plan. So that component of it is included in there, which is a requirement to get some funding. Anything to add? Okay. All right. Anybody have any questions for me? Pass this down. This is the planning report. Some of you heard that in the council meeting. It's the same report. On there that jumps out that you have questions on? you're looking over that, I want to make you aware that we have received a permit for Grace Chubb, which is, what was his name when he was there? It's the White House.
Dave McCann.
Yeah, back in there, they've added, they want to add some porches. And so we received a permit for adding the porch to that house on the west side and the east side. They're not enclosed, they're just porches on that.
Okay, are they too close?
Well, they're not near anything.
Property line?
No, they're right in the middle here, right in the middle of that thing, so.
Okay. I was thinking he's closer on the edge.
Yeah, he's got plenty on both sides. He actually has, on the west side, he has a turnaround, a circle drive, so.
Okay.
She.
She does.
Yeah.
She now.
Yeah, and somebody corrected the road sign, I liked it the way it was.
Oh, what does it say now?
It says Poppy Lane.
Well, it did that before.
No, one of the P's got changed to an O.
Wow. I don't notice those kind of things.
It's a sense of humor.
UPS guy can't mess up.
So I'm not so sure.
Everything else on here, anybody have any questions? The Gordon lot line adjustment, everything's been signed, we're just waiting for them to record it at the county. Brad Allen's well underway. We haven't heard back from Nephi Trunell, so he got concept approval from us and we haven't heard back from him. The corridor agreement is on hold. We have a new Region 3 director. And so he's going about a little different than the old one. So they've just been working with independents directly and they haven't brought us into that conversation yet.
That's a little scary.
Yeah. They assure us that they are going to honor our agreement we have with the other. So I think that it's a turning point with the county and everybody that has those all throughout the valley. If they don't follow that agreement, then I think that you'll see quite a number. We've been involved with all the municipalities as those have been drafted. So you guys probably remember me talking about the 309 rule, 70 pages long, and that was included in that. They finally just took it out because they didn't want to read it all. So it's not in the agreement, but they have a lot of rules at UDOT, and it's crazy to see what they wanted in there. Okay, I think everything else, if you don't have any questions, I think there is the interlocal meeting for Wasatch County, and it is a Zoom meeting. So if you go on and request that, they'll send you the link, and you can watch the interlocal meeting. That's all the municipal and county leaders. And they have asked us for our involvement in trails and Grant Rider to be involved with them. Okay? All right. We have the minute approval. Has everybody had a chance to review those? Mm-hmm. Any corrections or additions?
I didn't see anything.
So just the May. Okay.
Just the date.
Entertain a motion.
See, I see sign changes, but I didn't see the date wrong on that.
Well, you see the sign more often. I'll make a motion to accept the minutes from the June 16th meeting.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, discussion on the motion? Seeing none, call for the vote.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right, the minutes with that correction will be posted.
Okay.
And I think that takes us to our last one.
We don't want to deal with that one.
You don't want to deal with that one?
Fine, I move that we adjourn.
Okay, I have a motion. Second.
Come on, Tom, come through for me.
Okay, I said.
Okay, motion and second, any discussion? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We stand adjourned until the 2nd of August at the public hearing.
Okay.
Thank you all.
So I have a question.